Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Sorry to disturb your lunch. There will be still some food left after this presentation, this briefing, and I'm sure it won't take too long. So, I think if we look at this particular year that we've been trading in. I think it is a year where we have spent a lot of time in reshaping our business and with the aim of improving returns. We have successfully restructured and or sold certain businesses, and we still have some to go. I think the process to identify alternatives for our Australian professional finance and asset finance business is ongoing and progressing well. We have attracted strong interest from a range of parties with whom we're in confidential discussions with. Obviously, we're not in a position to provide any update at this point in time, but we will provide an update as soon as we can. I think the potential sale of Kensington is at an early stage in the process, and we also expect to provide you further information in the second quarter of this calendar year. We have sent out a document relating to the sale, and we do have significant interest in the particular transaction, but it is very, very early days. I think if we look at our results of our various operating units, I think our wealth and investment business results are expected to increase substantially, and asset management is expected to report results moderately ahead of the previous year. Both divisions have benefited from higher levels of funds under management and have been supported by net inflows. In the case of wealth and investment, £1.1 billion, and in case of Investec Asset Management, £2.5 billion up to the end of February. If we look at our specialist banking businesses, I think they are expected to report results in sterling, marginally ahead of the prior year. As we reported at the half year, South Africa specialist banking businesses performing well ahead in Rand of the previous year. UK Specialist Bank is also performing well ahead of the previous year, mainly as a result of a significant decrease in impairments. And the Australian business, as we said at the half year, has been impacted by strategic restructuring. And I think from after this year, we will no longer be reporting our Australian business separately because it will be much more integrated into the rest of the group. So the big impact on us in the period would have been the Rand. Did it depreciate about 20% in the period. You can see this graph's gone from, I think, 13.98 at 31 March to just over 18 again today. So clearly that has had a big impact in terms of the translation of the results. I think if you, against this backdrop, overall our operating profit will be marginally ahead of the prior year in sterling, which translates to approximately 28% in Rand. If you look at revenue would be slightly behind in sterling, and but that would translate to about 15% up in Rand. Recurring income as a percentage of total operating income is expected to be about 72%. And expenses decrease in sterling, but up about 17% in Rand. And, you know, these things are all affected by timing as to when these expenses are incurred, as timing on the revenue front as well. So we expect adjusted earnings per share to be between 0 and 7% up in sterling, and that would translate to between 22 and 27% up in Rand. So that's really the nub of the issue, is 0 to 7%, but 22 to 27% for Rand holders of our share. So if you look at our earnings drivers, third-party assets under management would decrease in sterling by 3%. That's up 8% on a neutral currency basis. Customer accounts decreased by 10%. In sterling, again, up 6% on a currency-neutral basis, and loans and advances down 10% in sterling, an increase of 7% on a neutral currency basis. So the exchange rate has had a big impact on the performance in the past year. If we look at the balance sheet soundness, we still remain very liquid. Our strategy has been, again, as we said before, to diversify our deposit base as well as reduce our cost of funds. We've seen this starting to work quite strongly in the U.K. and Australia. South Africa, the cost of funds never really went up that much post the crisis, so it's similar to what it's always been. That strategy continues. We still have a lot of cash, but we are diversifying and lengthening our liability base. Our advances as a percentage of customer deposits is still at 71-odd%, so there's not much change in terms of the overall balance sheet structure. With regard to capital, I think Basel III CRD4 came in on the 1st of January. We do meet all the current ratios comfortably, and our leverage ratios as an organisation are above our minimum target of 6%. The minimum rules say 3%, but we're well above that because we are a lowly leveraged organisation and don't rely on leverage to make a living. I think if we look at impairments, I think obviously impairments are significantly lower. We expect them to be down about 35%. This chart just gives you the impairment trend from 2007. We're not quite yet normalised, but well on the path to being normalised. We do expect our credit loss ratio to be about 0.7 from 0.84 in March 2013, and it peaked at about 1.27%. And then in the mortgage business, Kensington impairments are substantially lower than the previous year. So that has been a very positive trend. If we look at our divisional performance, asset management still has a competitive long-term investment performance. It has, because it manages a lot of money in emerging markets, it has been affected by tapering and repricing of emerging market assets. It did, as I said earlier, have positive net inflows of $2.5 billion up to the end of Feb, and its operating profit would be moderately ahead of the previous year in sterling. I think our wealth and investment business has performed particularly well, well ahead of the prior year, again supported by higher average funds under management, had positive net inflows of £1.1 billion. It has improving operating margins, as we mentioned to you before. Certainly in the UK business, prior to the acquisition of Evolution, we had an operating margin of above 25%. We're now seeing that margin migrate back to that level, but still not quite at that level yet. Still some way to go. And then the South African operating margins have always been pretty solid. We are selectively recruiting investment professionals to try and capture flows. There is a cost attached to that, but that is something that we believe is strategically important for us as we continue to build a very strong organization and a strong brand. We have been enhancing and evolving our online platforms. We think that's important for another distribution channel, and we continue to internationalize our offering. So we believe that business is going particularly well, and hopefully we can maintain the momentum that we've seen over the last while. If we move to the specialist bank, as I said, overall performing marginally ahead of the prior year. The Rand has obviously had a big impact on this business. But if you look at net interest income margin, we have seen loan growth of 7% in neutral currency, stable lending margins. Cost of funds, we've seen a reduction in cost of funds in the UK and Australia, but we also have seen some runoff of high-yielding assets that we would have acquired during the crisis. And there is some reduction on the lending side as well, where you're seeing more competition coming back in and as banks get their act together, but still, reasonable margins. And as I said earlier, we remain liquid. We've seen a slight uptick in net interest income in South Africa and Australia, slightly down in the UK as a consequence of the runoff of some of the assets that we acquired during the crisis. If we look at fees and commissions, our private client transactional and professional finance activities have performed quite well. We've had good performance from project finance and structured finance teams in South Africa. Other corporate fees a bit lower than in the prior year. On the investment and trading income, we've had good performance from our South African unlisted investment portfolio as well as our UK unlisted investment portfolio. the fixed income space has been a lot tougher, and we haven't seen the same kind of performance on the fixed income front that we've seen in prior years. So that would have affected our UK investment and trading income, and we are seeing improved customer flow activity. And then costs, South Africa's in line with inflation, UK in line with the prior year, and Australia expected to be down as a consequence of the restructure that has taken place. So if you look at other information, I think effective tax rate between 17 and 18%, similar to last year, on net non-operational costs. That's, you know, we've been doing a lot of reshaping, so the restructuring costs related to Australia, we sold the trust business. The cost of doing those two things were partially offset by the sale of a company called Lease Direct in the UK, which we made a decent gain on. And then, so that number was much higher at the half year. It would have come down for the full year. And then we also have minorities, or they call them non-controlling interests, that relate to the piece that we sold to Investec Asset Management, relate to that Forex hedge that always jumps up and down, which has been there for years. And then when the property fund became a REIT, we had to consolidate it, so the income and expenditure and the minorities now come through the income statement line by line, as opposed to previously it would have come in as just net income. And then we expect to have about 863 million shares in issue. I think it was about 860 when we last reported. So we haven't really issued any shares other than those that we're required to issue for options that have been historically granted, or variable remuneration where there's mandatory issue of shares under the structures that we have, also required by the regulator. So I think in conclusion, we have a very clear strategic direction. Our focus over the next period would be to execute some of these strategic initiatives, at the same time running our businesses quite hard. The strategic initiatives that we're concentrating on executing are really the sale of part of the business in Australia and the Kensington business. I think if that is successfully completed, we would have a business that is leaner, more focused, less complex, and very client-driven. And I think that's what we're trying to achieve in life, is have a very client-driven, high-quality client-driven organization that is very relevant in our core markets and delivers on our promise to our key stakeholders. So really, there's not much more to say than that. So I think I will conclude there and open the floor for questions, should anyone have any questions. So I'll start off in South Africa. I don't know if anyone has any questions. Ruby? Yeah?
Thank you. Forgive me. The chart on impairment analysis, as you stated, shows a very welcome improvement. However, right in the middle, in the light green section, is a reference to Ireland, where from my eye measurement, the impairment seems to be equal to that of 2013 and 2012.
Yeah.
Is there a specific reason why Ireland is not improving?
I think Ireland as an economy is improving a lot. We do have a mortgage business in Ireland. House prices dropped like 55 to 60%. We started to see house price improvement in Dublin, which is the main city, but in the rest of Ireland, it's still quite slow. So it's going to take some time. I don't know, you know, the effects of the bubble in Ireland, and in particular the housing and construction bubble, you know, really wiped out that economy. But the economy itself is starting to recover quite strongly. However, it will take time. I mean, these financial crises take a long time to rectify.
Hi, Stephen.
Voigt, you haven't been here for a while,
I've just been hiding, Stephen.
Okay.
A fairly easy one. Just can you give an update on the transactional, or the rollout of the transactional offering in Australia and the UK? I know it's early days, but...
Well, the business that, I mean, we've rolled out quite a lot of the transactional offering in Australia, and, you know, that business obviously is the business that we have been talking to third parties about buying. The U.K., I think we've just launched the private bank card, but internally at this stage, it hasn't rolled out to clients yet, or it was only the other day. So we're starting to see a lot of progress, and there is a lot of effort and concentration on that front. And I think you'll see from the South African side, there's a lot of stuff coming via the iPad app, etc. So, it will take time, but we're quite confident that with our brand, with where we're positioned in that market, we have a decent offering out there.
Thanks.
But you're not going to see a difference in earnings for a while. In fact, at the moment, there are costs because we have to spend money on building the platforms and marketing and all those things. More questions? Nothing. Okay, I'll go to UK. I can't see anyone from the UK. Are you sure they even link, Greg? Okay. Oh, there's Farnie. Jonathan.
Thank you. Afternoon, Stefan. I had a couple. One on impairments. What drove the impairment number? Was it the fall in coverage, or was it economic trends? Are you seeing better workouts? Some clarity on that would be helpful. The second one I had was on is there still plans of what you're going to do with respect of the sale proceeds that come out of Kensington and Australia? Have you thought about what that would be allocated towards? And I had a supplementary last one on capital.
Yeah, let's start off with the impairment trend. I think clearly you're seeing, in an improved economy, you work things out a lot better. So rising tides lift all boats. You've had seen significant improvement, as you're aware, in the UK housing market. So as I said, the impairments in Kensington dropped significantly compared to last year and the year before. And those would be, two of the bigger drivers, just improved economic conditions, the fact that we've dealt for the last 6 years, we changed our lending philosophy at least 6 years ago. So, stuff that we would have done before, we eliminated completely from our risk tolerance profile, or our risk appetite is the better word. So, and you're getting improved economic conditions. So that would be affecting the impairment trends. I think it's early days to talk about the allocation of the capital. I mean, we still, none of these businesses are sold yet. And we'll cross that bridge and we'll give you more detail as to what we propose to do when we get to the point of having sold the businesses. So, it is very early days. I don't remember the third question. If there was a third
Sorry,
question.
Can I just clarify, on your impairments, you've not moved any of the coverage ratios in any of the different portfolios at all?
You're saying that we've upped our charge or lowered our charge? No. I mean, if you have an improved, some of them we have to have impairment models, and the improvement in house prices, in particular in the UK, would have an effect on the need to provide, but our coverage ratios would not have deteriorated, if I understand your question correctly. So we haven't dropped the coverage ratio, but we have seen an improvement in LTVs because you've had some asset price rises. Remember, a couple of years back,
just
we changed our provisioning model.
Have you got any more clarity in respect of where the PRA sits in respect of buffer for you guys, or is it still under discussion?
No, we haven't had any issues from a capital point of view with the PRA, so I don't know if anything is under discussion or not under discussion, so we're quite comfortable at the moment. And you go through your process with them. We haven't had any issues with them.
No, I get you're capitalized well, but I'm just wondering, most banks are looking at 11.5 to 12 as a sustainable capital
Yeah,
level.
But you've got to balance that against the leverage
that
ratio.
Level was for you. Was it still going to be 10 where you're sitting at, or is it going to be 11?
Well, we're firstly
12,
on standardized, so if you compare
if
our leverage ratio, so you've got banks who say they're at 12% core tier 1, but then they have a leverage ratio of 2.9 or 3. We have a leverage ratio of almost 7. So you've got to look at the two hand in hand as opposed to the one. I think we're very comfortable with our capital target.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Any more questions in London?
No more questions, yes, Stephen.
Is that it? Okay. Well, I hope you got some food in London as well. Thank you very much, and anyone who wants to ask questions offline, you're welcome. Thank you.